Are you ready to get serious about your weight loss journey? Tried crash and burn calorie restriction? Considering the invasive strategy of GLP-1 injections like Ozempic? Slow down and consider a safer, easier, and long-lasting solution. Golo is clinically proven to work without the dangerous side effects of injections and fad diets. Golo's release helps your body combat the stress of dieting while controlling cravings and hunger. Minimize muscle loss and feel better with Golo. Just take one Golo Release supplement with each meal and follow the Golo for Life plan. It's an effective and affordable plan to lose weight for good. There are no insurance hoops to jump through, no prescription needed, just sensible, effective weight loss and a healthier lifestyle on your terms. Get started on a healthier, happier, and more energetic you at Golo.com. 5 million people have already discovered a better way to lose weight. Join them and go to Golo.com. That's GOLO.com today.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
What's up, Browns fans? Welcome back to another episode of the Dogs Podcast presented by Omaha Steaks, another Discord Dog Pack show today. And we're in studio. This is the first Dog Pack Discord show that we've done in studio. Josh, Justin, Kenny Mack from Canada coming all the way down here just for the Discord.
Yeah.
Right? A special trip.
Yeah,
just for this.
Special trip, man. I love getting down this way. Treat myself to a couple Cleveland beers.
Yeah.
Seeing these guys.
Love it.
Some Browns. Talking some sports. Fantastic. Yes.
So we've got people in the audience we're going to bring up. We've already got one person designated to get up on stage first. So we're going to do that before we bring them up. Guys, make sure if you're watching on YouTube, please like the video, subscribe to the channel, tap the notification bell. Make sure you don't miss anything new. We are still somewhat shadow banned, it seems. So just give us a little bit of love, but let's go ahead here and get somebody on stage. Let's see if I can do this. Tyler, are you able to come up here and talk?
All right. Can y'all hear me?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, we got you, buddy.
What's up, y'all?
Not too much, man. Nice hot day.
This is Tyler for you guys if you don't have the Discord up.
I don't have Discord up.
What's up, everybody?
What's going on, man? What do you want to talk about?
Well, first, what'd y'all think of the debate?
I don't think we're doing politics on here. No politics. I will just say that just from what I've seen, it was got a little rough, I think.
Well, you know what? Yeah. From the outside looking in, because I'm not from here, my prime minister sucks, number one. He's a jerk and I want to fight him. But I think you guys just need some new candidates, period. Sorry, man. Yeah.
It's going to be a while till that happens.
There's a lot of people that got a lot of stuff and invested in both candidates, but you guys, based on what I've seen in my 48 years on this planet, you guys just need some better.
Well, I guess I take back what I just said. There's a good chance that there's going to be one new candidate come November.
That's fair.
Fair enough.
Very fair. What else you got, man?
What else you got?
All right. Well, for Browns wise, I was just gonna feel pretty confident this year.
You should.
Deshaun can actually stay on the field and play. I just feel like we haven't got to see enough out of him yet because I'm obviously not worried about the defense. They should be just fine. And then the Mari situation too. But I mean, if we get those two figured out, I think we should be fine. I am interested to see Ken Dorsey though, how the offense is going to play now, if they changed anything from last year.
I agree, man. I think like going into this year, the optimism can't be any higher. I feel like we haven't even gotten to see 65-70% Deshaun Watson yet. And I think you know what I mean? And then I think the defense improved from last year, in my opinion. I mean, we'll see what happens, but I don't know how we don't go into this year thinking like, and maybe it's blind optimism, you know, something like that. But like, man, this is a team that can be, if we can get ahead in this division, I think that's the biggest bottleneck in this whole thing is like the division is going to be tough.
Yeah. A lot of people are saying the division's tough. I mean, one thing that I would look at because there's not much information out there right now.
Right.
But when you do hear stuff, it sounds really good, but I find if there's a big read on body language, mm-hmm. if you look at David Njoku when he said like the offense is going to be juicy, and when he says juicy, it's like he's not kind of like Malaz, like it's going to be juicy. He's like, man, it's going to be juicy. He's almost like flexing while he's saying it. And he's like, yeah. he's literally like pumped about it. Mm-hmm. And there's not too much negativity that can come across about the offense and the way that it's going to go based on like everybody that you see that comments on it, right? The one big question mark, and you said it, is like, well, what's Deshaun Watson going to do? Does it really matter? If he's mediocre, we're going to be pretty damn good. Because I think what you said, I'm going to touch on that, is the linebackers got more athletic, right? And as long as those guys can wrap up and the Browns can wrap up, and it goes back to what Mad Dog Golic was saying, you don't need to punch the ball out every single time. Just sit their asses down, mm-hmm. you know? And I think it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Like,
I agree. And I mean, I saw somebody post on Twitter today, I think it was, and they said about last year the Browns beat the number one seed in the AFC with a quarterback who had a broken shoulder.
Yeah.
Beat the number one seed in the NFC with PJ Walker.
Yeah, I think he still had a broken shoulder.
Beat the Steelers with DTR. Like, we're going to be okay. And the thing is, that offense wasn't even like new or modernized or explosive, really. It was just a ho-hum, it can get the job done type of offense. And it was very efficient at times, but other times not so much. So any improvements they make is just icing on the cake. And I know what you mean about not being concerned about the defense, but you got to remember this defense was elite, number one in the league at home, ass on the road overall, just not good on the road. So if they improve, and I keep telling people, like, if they can just be top 15, top half of the league on the road.
Oh,
That's huge.
Well, when you're a top team defense in the league, and you said that there's room for improvement, and like you look the guy in the eye when he says it, and it's a serious like, yeah, we screwed up. They're not just saying this to.
I do
say it.
I'm with you. I think it's a redemption tour. I think a lot of them guys are bought into it. I really do. I think, and it's not like these are like. So, I mean, there's young guys, but I think this is a kind of a veteran core now that it's been together for some years. And like they set expectations last year, and things, obviously injuries happened and like there's roadblocks, but for us to still make the playoffs and then get a taste of that. And now like going into this year, you've got to think like just making it to the playoffs for them, I don't think is ever going to be acceptable. Like from this point on.
Yeah.
The other thing that I want to point out too is where pundits say specific things, right? So at the end of the day, a lot of people make a lot of hay about last year's schedule, and the Browns have the toughest schedule. But you kind of hear like an undertone of like, are the Ravens really going to be the Ravens that were last year? Because they lost a ton of people. And you still have to put I'm not saying disrespect the Ravens, because they've done enough butt kickings for us that I respect them. I respect the coach, and I think he can get it. However, when you lose your offensive and defensive coordinator, they only lost their defensive coordinator. Okay. And when they went through all the changes, so they've lost a ton of players, are they really going to be the same, right? Pittsburgh Steelers, I don't think they lost a lot, but they gained a lot of rookies. And I feel like there's a lot of like, overhype about the rookies, and you know how rookies can get. If I was looking at Myles Garrett and Myles Garrett's looking across at that line going, I'm going to feast today. I don't care who's in the backfield, right? Mm. And then the wild card is, I don't know what they expect from the Bengals.
Who knows?
Joe Burrow
has ALC.
Looks like Brady Quinn, and we all know that Brady Quinn can complete a lot of things other than down the field with that jacked body, right? Like there's a certain point where you just become too big for quarterback. And that's only based on what I've read on the internet. I don't really know. And so that may be a detriment to them. But, you know, if he just gets enough balls to Jamar Chase at the right time, who cares?
I think if he's healthy, they're dangerous. Like, if they're
until
they
play us.
That's fair. That's very fair. But, that's my thing. They, talent-wise... They kind of lost a little bit too, but I think as long as you have that offense for the most part put together, and like obviously they lost Mixon, but Zach Moss is no scrub. Like He showed that last year that he can be a workhorse back if he needs to be. But Joe Burrow stays healthy. They're in contention for AFC.
So let's get a Brad. We're going to hang on and have you next. Joe Marica is going to make his debut on the stage, I think.
Ooh, Joe Marica. Hell yeah.
Come on up, Joe.
Hell yeah, I'm here.
Hell yeah.
Welcome, my friend.
Thanks for having me. The one question I was considering, actually, because I've been watching a lot of Browns news from like last year, because I'm really excited for this season, is do you guys think that they should make some adjustments with like the secondary? Because I feel like for the most part last year, they were just doing man-to-man, which worked out great until, you know, the first round of the playoffs, Houston. But do you think they should try to mix up some more zone in there and disguise it? Or what are your guys' thoughts?
It depends on how well Delpit's been healed up, I guess. If he's a step slower, maybe they do that. But I think a lot of the stuff that happened with the Browns near the end of the season might have been their second and third string exposed. Oh, I guess you're going fourth string because Rodney was injured for the year too.
That's right.
And while the two young kids, Hickman and D'Anthony, did very well, they did get exposed, but that's more experience for them. I would say that Jim Schwartz probably is not going to change much, and he's going to stick with the guys that he has. And I would just like to see a full season out of Grant Delpit.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think they keep playing man. I like us athletically.
Oh, yeah.
The secondary against a lot of teams. You know what I mean? They've got that core built. Chemistry is going to get better. They're only going to get better the longer they play with each other. And it's a young group, so I still like it.
I still don't think it would be a bad idea, like you're suggesting, to kind of experiment with moving to a little bit more zone, a little more. I don't want to say like a lot higher percentage, but you know guys are going to get injured. It's just the way of the game. I know we're all optimistic about that doctor they hired, yada, yada, but I mean, this is just going to happen. And we saw the defense, what they were doing in the secondary was working pretty well the first part of the season. But like you said, Kenny, as soon as we lost Rodney, things got a little hairy, and we've already had Juan Thornhill in and out a little bit.
Yep.
And then it was Delpit was out and Ward was out for some games, and we lost Cam Mitchell. And that's whenever you saw the man-to-man stuff really start to bite us in the ass. So
yeah,
I think it would be nice to implement a little bit of some zone to fall back on. Something that's a little, I don't want to say anything's easy, but a little more, I don't have the right word, a little easier for these younger guys to understand and kind of like just slide right into.
Yeah, I guess, and I guess I said I want to see Delpit for the whole year, but you know what'd be nice, seeing Thornhill for the whole year.
He got hurt.
Because until you mention him, he's a guy I kind of forget about.
Yeah,
you know, and I think he's due for a big year, and the way the preseason went with him, I was just like, I was expecting big things,
yeah.
And then he just
never got healthy.
So
he played injured. I mean, kudos to him. I mean, he played injured all year, but it was just like, man,
yeah,
it's tough. Yep.
Joe, you got any other questions real quick?
No, that's pretty much it for now. Everything's just kind of undecided. Like, we don't really know what to expect, especially from Deshaun and everything else. And just, you know, just being hopeful, I guess. But yeah, we'll see. I don't know.
I'm so optimistic, you know. Yeah, exactly. Hoping for the best. And I think of Deshaun. I mean, he was starting to cruise last year before he got that shoulder injury. I mean, that Titans game I thought was like, oh, he is tuning himself up to really get back on track here. And then that's when the shoulder injury happened late in that game and kind of derailed the next several games. He tried to come in, didn't work out against the Colts, and then came back against the Cardinals, looked okay, but you could tell he made some nice throws, but you could still tell limited. And then that Ravens game was just the end of it all. So,
hey, man, Pro Football Focus said that they're the number three roster in the league.
Yeah,
and you can kind of like say you're whatever you want about Pro Football Focus, but I mean, really, I mean, it's a bunch of pundits that put them at some point ahead of other teams, and I think it's going to be good.
This episode is brought to you by Omaha Steaks. Let's all take a minute to wish happy birthday to the United States of America, and there's no better way to celebrate America's birthday than with the best meats available for your backyard cookouts this 4th of July season. Right now, you can save 50% off site-wide during the Omaha Steaks 4th of July sale. So break out the grills and get ready for the 4th of July celebrations with Omaha Steaks. Get the burgers, the chicken, the jumbo franks, the brats. And of course, get the steaks. Those things are incredible. They've got appetizers, meatballs, wings. They've got desserts. They've even got wine. They've got everything you guys need to celebrate America's birthday with your friends and your family. Go to omahasteaks.com/dogs and use promo code DOGS, D-A-W-G-S, when you check out, and you'll get an extra $30 off your order. So set off the fireworks in everybody's mouth with Omaha Steaks this 4th of July. Head to omahasteaks.com/dogs. Get 50% off site-wide during the 4th of July sale. And make sure you guys punch in that promo code DOGS, D-A-W-G-S, when you check out to get an extra $30 off your order. Happy 4th of July, everybody. We got the moneymaker on stage. What's up, Brad?
Hey there, buddies. I'm up here in Canada.
Hey. Yo. Any corn whiskey hanging around there?
Hey, you know how it is there, bud. I got done hanging out with Thriller, aka his name's actually Mike. We didn't know.
Thriller's way better.
Really nice dude. He actually, funny story. He got into the Browns through hockey because he went to a game with his friend and he saw the resemblance of hockey with football, and that's how he got in the Browns.
Really?
I thought that was an interesting story.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got to do some pound town with Kenny, do some pound town with Thriller.
Yeah.
Do some, you know, drinks up here, just hanging out, enjoying the nice weather.
It's hot down here.
I guess my only question for you guys is, are you guys ready for November 3rd? Because it's about to be lit.
Hells yeah, man. We were talking about that. I'm so pumped. I will be up on Friday. I would like to do some kind of Browns backers party or some kind of like Dogs podcast party Saturday night. We want to fire it up. I'm going to go see the Akron Zips or the Baldwin Wallace or anything. Yeah. If you have like this oval ball that's brown, I will come and watch your game and have a good time and drink some beers.
I shit you not. While we're talking about this, and I'll have to do some research, you know what you should do with me?
What's that?
Let's go to a high school football game.
Oh, here, man. I would love Northeast to do that.
Ohio, man. Mm-hmm.
So
have you got to experience any of that yet?
High school, no. The closest that I got is that I did grow up and I got all your channels. So yeah. I had channel 3, but anyways, long story short, I had channel 43. Mm-hmm. Channel 43 would do the high school game of the week.
Yes, yeah.
And I did see some games from St. Ignatius. I remember as a young lad.
Yeah, they're solid program. Yeah, well, maybe we'll look into that a little
That'd
bit.
Be super fun, man.
Oh, maybe we'll break you in.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Blake would take you down to a Dover game in a heartbeat.
Hell yeah, I'd do that.
I went to a couple of Dover games. It's a good time, yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Tailgate and I'll drink your beer. I'll do it all.
All right, so any of you guys want to come up on stage and talk for a little bit, just put your hand up. We'll bring you up. I know while we're waiting on people to, I don't know, get the courage to come up here. Calling you guys cowards, that's right.
Sure.
I'm just kidding. But I did want to talk about the Nick Chubb thing. We got Devontae wants to come on up, so we'll just go ahead and bring him up.
Devontae. That's right.
What's up? I'm just gonna hear me.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up?
What's up, my man?
Going to Elvis.
Doing good.
Yeah.
So on the Browns front, I know everybody's kind of nervous about Deshaun and worried and everything. I'm going to talk to him from the mental side for like 2 minutes. When you go through something mentally and your character is questioned, your morale is questioned, your ethics are questioned, and you can't defend yourself the way you really want to, it takes a lot out of you. And so if you notice, the first year he was here, didn't really see him. Then, you know, the 6 games, up and down, okay. Second year, you know, okay, people are still thinking about, oh, he has all those paces or whatever. Then it started slowly trickling him out more on the Browns media. If you go look at it now compared to last year, he's actually shown more. And one thing that I see with Deshaun, and this is from personal experience, when you gain your confidence back, it's a whole new level of confidence that you never had before. Like, oh, you guys thought I was dead. I've heard everything. And I know people say, you know, you can't have rabbit ears and do all this and that. If you don't think Tom Brady, Joe Montana, Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Carson Palmer, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Brock Purdy, if you don't think any of them don't pay attention, if you don't think players, period, pay attention to stuff, you are sadly mistaken. So, yeah, Deshaun watched it, heard it, had to shut his mouth for legal reasons. He let it do his thing. Whatever's going on there is going on there. But this year, I think he's finally at peace with everything. He could play the way that he wants to play because, like you said in his podcast, he no longer cares. He does not give a bleep. You know what I'm saying. So that's just what I want to talk about. Floor is up, dog pound. Let's go.
I like that, man. And that is exactly what I want to see out of Deshaun this year is I want to see a dude who just doesn't care anymore what people think about him. I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about you. It's about what you think about you. Because that, I mean, you're the one that's going to limit yourself or not limit yourself. But if this dude comes out here and he's not limiting himself, it's going to be a lot of fun.
I think he just looks comfortable coming into the seat. Like, just in the interviews, everything. Like, the last few years, and, you know, Devontae touched on it. Like, what he went through, whether it was his fault, you know, his actions or, you know, all of that stuff. Like, that takes a toll. You know what I mean? And, like, I'm guessing his rock bottom, like, that he had to come back from, that probably was a terrible, terrible deal, you know? Like, as far as, like, the mental aspect, even for him, is he's a professional athlete, the idea of losing your career in something, you know, a game you love. But for me, I just watch him heading into this year, and he just looks so comfortable and, like, loose, you know, not worried about things.
You can tell. Here's a player that's he's had a rough game. This is how they are at that podium. And then, as you can see, as he goes through the year, shoulders go down. Even with Baker, with the, you know, when he was having a rough season at the 6-10 with Freddie Kitchens, he's a lot like this, right? And then it goes down. Like, you can, I mean, with Baker, there was some weight gain and some other stuff. There were some signs there that he was going through a rough time. And it was like that with Deshaun as well. Got accused of a lot of things and, you know, let that be where it may. I find that he's very relaxed. Some of it is like what I see just him speaking on his podcast. Yep. And again, when you do a podcast for the first time, you might be just a little bit like this too.
Oh, yeah.
And then but it goes down real fast, but you can see he's talking a lot looser and he's just, you know, he seems a more easy.
Yeah.
Easygoing.
Yeah. I like it. It's just, you know, go out there, be yourself. If somebody's going to hate you for whatever, then they're going to hate you. And you know, that's just the way it is.
And like the biggest thing is we were talking about a player that I'm going to be profiling for the Throwback Thursday, and that player never had like resounding backups by his teammates. I've never heard anything negative actually about anybody in the league, and they never shunned him. Because you remember what happened with Ray Rice. Mm. That stuff that happened, when that happened with Ray Rice, he was shunned. He was shunned from the league. Now, with the whole thing that went down with Deshaun Watson, he was shunned by the uppers, like Roger Goodell, and he had to do what he had to do. He's got to manage the league. And it was kind of knee-jerk, but anyways, it is what it is. And he basically, I don't know, you don't hear anything negative about anybody based on the situation and the accusations that were against him. So there's something to be said to that, I think.
That's a good point. Yeah, you don't hear any other peers, players. Yeah.
You know, they got their, like, everybody wants to trade his jersey with him. Everybody wants to have his back. Like, so something's not adding up. But that kind of kept him probably in the right path or his headspace, and now he's just ready to ball out.
Yep. You got anything else, Devontae?
Honestly, man, no matter what happens this year, I know we're talking, you know, for him we talked to, it's AFC Championship game, it's Super Bowl, it's playoffs. No matter what happens, and I've said this when I was on the draft at night, Cleveland is starting to have consistency. Mm. Yeah. You know, consistency in a front office is one of the major things that's not talked about. Yeah, you could put certain people out there, Tom Brady, Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, Jerry Rice, et cetera, the list goes on and on. They will succeed no matter what. But organizations sometimes need that head start to get it going. We've seen that with Detroit 2 years ago, last year. Look where they ended up. Cleveland, you know, if they hang on to Seattle game, they get one more win. I think it was another one where they may have had a close one. But consistency is key. Like, Cleveland finally has consistency. This is the first time that I've ever watched the Cleveland Browns since they've been back that they have a stable front office from top down, and that flows all the way through the team. The reason why, I don't like them, but I respect them. The Steelers, they've only had three head coaches. The Baltimore Ravens, consistency. All these teams that are great have always had consistency. So please, no matter what happens, look at what the Cleveland Browns are doing. They're not just throwing stuff at the wall, hoping it sticks. They're actually coming up with a plan to make sure, hey, let's make sure we get our guys paid. Let's get any key pieces that we need. Let's fill in the gaps. And let's go attack this thing head on.
Yeah, I 100% 100% agree with you, and Blake said it too. And you were touching on it, and it's this is probably the same thing, but I'm going to say it's the management vision. And when I say management vision, it is Stefanski and it's Barry, and they're going to a singular purpose. We've seen where Ray Farmer and Patton did not agree on picks. Probably Pat Shurmur, Mike Holmgren, while they all came from the same tree, didn't really know what they were doing. Tom Heckard didn't know what they were doing. Heckard was really from a Philadelphia branch. The other two were from Holmgren's branch, and they couldn't, you know, get players right. And it was just, you know, Butch Davis, again, he was another guy where we had a general manager, then he wanted total power and he screwed everything up. And there was just never consistency. And that shared vision seems to be, and based on getting two coaches of the year and somebody providing you the players, that they are on the right path with that. And I 100% agree with what you said.
Think about this too. They haven't had a season yet where things just went right, other than maybe that first year for coach.
Yeah,
right?
True.
That first year, it's been something every
year. Lost Odell. That was big.
Yeah. Well, even that year was COVID.
And COVID.
That was So yeah, COVID. The year after Baker gets hurt, then you have, you know, Jacoby and Deshaun. Then you just have all the injuries last year. Like, think about what this organization would have done 15 years ago in some of those. And you know what I mean? Yeah. Season to season, it would have been new head coach. Maybe, you know what I mean? Maybe
a new 2-14.
Yeah. So like for me, I think you can see that they are learning as they go, like Andrew Berry and even coach, like, I think you see that they're learning, but they're even like when it's very chaotic and insane, I think you still see, like Devontae said, consistency. There's a plan. They rally. You know what I mean? Last year, that team should have folded. If it was like any other Browns team that I watched in my entire life, they would have rolled over. Yeah. And that's no disrespect for any of the players. It was just it was different times. Just the whole structure, everything, ownership all the way down was just.
Well, look at like Chubb coming back and like making an appearance when Jim Donovan smashed the guitar.
Oh, dude.
And then Chubb coming back and smashing the guitar. And like a lot of, and like just not the Browns, like just teams in general go, oh, you're injured. You're out of here, pal. Don't get your negativity or your injury on, you know, our team. And like, it's just that culture shift where they accepted and they saw somebody working really hard. They brought him in and inspired the team.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's the difference that I see.
Next man up mentality. That's all it was. Just next guy up.
Well, speaking of next man up, Tyler, you're back up. What you got, buddy?
I was just going to talk about too. I'm not saying like the defensive line was bad last year, obviously, by any means, but I think the hiring of the Texans guy actually might play a pretty big role in kind of
I mean, Zadarius was still good with the pressures, but his sack numbers were pretty low. And I think with what that dude was able to do with, like, Will Anderson and what he turned Jonathan Grenard into, I mean, I think this defense can go to even, like, a whole another level, too, like the D-line specifically.
Yeah, I like that. And I think it'll help Mike Hall. I think I am so excited to see what he can bring to the table. And again, you know, I'm not expecting massive snap counts out of him or, you know, a full-time starter, even a starter. I want to see him come in his role, in his spots, and make an impact.
And you guys think we'll see a little more of, what's the big guy from Baylor we drafted?
Oh, Siaki Ika.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if he'll maybe be able to get anything out of him, because I was pretty excited having like a big Vita Vea type guy to play in the middle and clog up the run lanes and just kind of wreak havoc. But I kind of bummed out we didn't really get to see much. It sounded like he wasn't really doing too well in camp and practice and stuff.
I think there's two things to that. I think number one, we're so deep that you're not going to see rookies as much anymore. The other thing is what happened with him is he did actually get playing time against the Bengals and didn't perform, so everybody's kind of bummed now. I wouldn't say that's necessarily a bad thing because he got engulfed by starters. So I think with another year under his belt and with this new coach, I think things will be better for this guy. Just based on, I did an article for Barry Shuck, and he was a guy that I picked that would be a difference maker for the Browns. Mm-hmm. He ended up doing what, or I guess Tomlinson ended up doing what I said that he was going to do. Mm-hmm. But he's really being groomed, I think, for Tomlinson, and that's why I brought it up. I don't think he's going to get much run anywhere else because you're going to have the defensive line that's going to start for first, right? So you're going to have Tomlinson. You're going to have the guys that are out there now. And then Tomlinson is going to be pretty much a two-down player. But if you're going to be third and long, you're not going to put Ika in for that. You're going to have Michael Hall Jr. You're going to have some of the other guys that can. You're probably going to get some defensive ends kicked in as well, right? So he's got two-down ability. And I don't think that's where it kind of sucks for him, right? So he's eventually, I think, going to make it. But he's got to wait till Tomlinson gives up some playing time.
I think even that spot next to Tomlinson is kind of, I think there's like Schwartz is kind of waiting for somebody to emerge, you know, to step in and be the guy. Like, obviously, they're going to rotate out and stuff like that. But I think they're looking for one guy to really.
So you think Shelby starts? And then Hurst backs him up because of the injury? Or what do you think about the guy from the Jets? Like, you think he has the ability to start and the other guy's supplant?
I would say probably Shelby.
Yeah,
but
I would too.
Again, remember, Shelby's on that 2-year contract.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other guys are on one.
Yeah.
But I mean, my thing too is, and I don't necessarily believe this, but it wouldn't shock me. Like, let's say Michael Hall plays his ass off in camp and plays his ass off in preseason and you can't keep him off the field. You know what I mean? Then I could see it being a situation where it's like, well, hey, he's the guy, and then you come in and give him a blow here and there, you know, to as far as with Harris and stuff like that, or whoever doesn't get cut. Because I think some of those guys are going to get cut.
Cut or traded.
You know, Hurst. And we've talked about the contract stuff with Shelby and even Ika. Like, it would suck, but
it's interesting because, like, Barry compared him to John Randall. Right.
Right.
And the if you want to compare him, I'm not saying he is John Randall right now. What I think Barry was getting at was the measurables. So what the combine stats pulled in were very similar. Right. The violent hands were very similar. Right. Now, I guess you guys know how Randall used to train, used to chase chickens and stuff. I don't know if he did that kind of stuff, but there is some comparison. And man, like, I mean, to dream as a Browns fan, wouldn't that be great? Let's just get him started and, like, get him looking good in preseason. Mm-hmm. But I can see where that vision and why they got him, you know, to that. So, yes, then I can see him starting if he can do that kind of same stuff. But let's get him just through his year and have a couple sacks and go from there.
Yep. So let's see here. Pastor Rob, just to go on what you're saying, he said rotate the DTs and keep them fresh, mm-hmm. make them go full motor.
And that's
I
what
like that idea. I mean,
Schwartz
that's probably what
do,
they're
right?
going to do.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Manly Bands. Dog Pack, if you followed the show for a while, you know that I recently got married. I got my wedding band at Manly Bands. Now, I opted for something a little more simple, so I just got a plain, simple, gold, polished band from Manly Bands, but that's not everybody, and I'm telling you, they've got so many cool different designs and materials available. They've got stuff. They've got bands made out of Jack Daniel's whiskey barrels, meteorites, even dinosaur bones. It's so cool. Just head to manlybands.com, check out the selection, see what they have. They've even got build your own bands if you want to make a custom style band for yourself. And right now, use promo code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S, at manlybands.com when you check out, and you'll get 25% off your order. 25% is a big deal. So make sure, if you guys are looking for a new wedding band, Blake mentioned last week or two on the show that, you know, he's lost a lot of weight in the last year. And so his wedding band is a little too big for him. So he's thinking about getting a new one. And I told him, I said, just go to Manly Band, see what they got. And the 25% off your order is such a great deal. You really can't beat it. So at least go check it out, see what they have. They've got some really cool stuff. And again, promo code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S, if you decide to buy one, and you'll get 25% off of that purchase. If you don't know your ring size, you can order a free ring size guide. They'll ship it straight to you. You can punch out the little rings and put them on your finger to see which size fits you best. And then every single band you order comes with a free silicone ring for whenever you want to work out or go swimming or whatever you need a silicone band for. You get one for free shipped with your purchase of a Manly Band from manlybands.com. So check it out. Again, manlybands.com. Use promo code DAWGS for 25% off your order.
Americans are durable. We take pride in hard work and high quality. American Giant makes durable quality clothing right here in the USA, because what we wear reflects who we are. When you buy American Giant, you're not just wearing the best clothes money can buy. You're helping keep jobs and pride in your own backyard. Premium clothing built to last decades, like it should. Get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code RIGHTHERE24.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
Are you ready to get serious about your weight loss journey? Tried crash and burn calorie restriction? Considering the invasive strategy of GLP-1 injections like Ozempic? Slow down and consider a safer, easier, and long-lasting solution. Golo is clinically proven to work without the dangerous side effects of injections and fad diets. Golo's release helps your body combat the stress of dieting while controlling cravings and hunger. Minimize muscle loss and feel better with Golo. Just take one Golo release supplement with each meal and follow the Golo for Life plan. It's an effective and affordable plan to lose weight for good. There are no insurance hoops to jump through, no prescription needed, just sensible, effective weight loss and a healthier lifestyle on your terms. Get started on a healthier, happier, and more energetic you at Golo.com. 5 million people have already discovered a better way to lose weight. Join them and go to Golo.com. That's Golo.com today.
Butters, your stage's debut. What's up, man?
Whoa, whoa.
Guys, how's it going?
It's good. Hey, brother. How you doing?
Oh, doing good. So I got this little kitten that's just tearing up my room right now. So I apologize if you hear a bunch of
scratching. Oh, man, I know about that.
Kenny Mac loves the cats.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. So I got like a $700 bar sign in my man room, and it no longer exists because of a cat. But anyways, yeah, angry.
So what you got for us, man?
So one of the things I, you know, constantly keep seeing articles about, and I just was kind of curious to talk about a little bit, just because it feels like the kind of trap we get into every offseason when we hear the reports about a young player killing it or this early in camp, and then the expectations start climbing. So for this example, I wanted to talk about Cedric Tillman. So Cedric Tillman is one of those guys that the ceiling is awesome. a guy that's 6'3", 220, that can catch the ball with basically no effort at all. I mean, like when he made that one comeback catch, I don't remember if it was against the Ravens or whatnot, but my goodness, man, when you can catch and defender is tugging on your arms and it still doesn't stop you, that kind of stuff's special. Mm-hmm. This kid's got legitimate talent, but the problem is when you come from Tennessee and your offense is basically as bare bones as possible. And we saw last year, we saw some of the learning curves. And with Ken Dorsey's system and running the choice routes, being so aggressive vertically, I worry that we are seeing right now the exciting stuff that we saw in last preseason, where you see a big body that can make great athletic catches and really showcase those attributes. But when it comes down to the X's and O's, when it comes to reading defenses, manipulating your routes, pressing off, I worry that we're going to expect him to be, and some people are already saying he's going to be Amari Cooper's replacement, he's going to put up all these yards, and I just kind of want to go into it a little bit because I think we need to keep in mind that he's coming from a college, one of the most watered-down college offenses out there, to the West Coast last year, which was a big, massive step, to now even going a step further and saying, hey, you're not just running a route. You have to read your defender to determine your route, because if you make a mistake, Deshaun's going to have one read already in mind. You also have to have the same read in mind, and if you don't, that's where we're going to start seeing some picks. So just kind of want to get your thoughts on it a little bit.
We definitely saw the learning curve last year. You're right. There were times where he, you know, didn't run the full route or broke off the route. I mean, Joe Flacco was livid with him a couple of times. I think it was that Jets game. We should have had a touchdown and just all kinds of things. He was a rookie, buried on the depth chart, didn't play for at least, about half the season. He didn't hardly get any opportunities.
Got traded.
Blake made a good point last week, like what kind of opportunities were really available for him, considering DPJ had, eight catches on the year?
Yeah.
So I get all that. And also I understand where the hype's coming from because he was the only dude at OTAs.
Yeah.
I mean, the other guys weren't there. Elijah wasn't there. Amari wasn't there. Jerry Jeudy was there, but I think he had a little injury thing that had him limited. So, I mean, I understand all that, but go ahead. What were you going to say?
I think just my whole thing with it, and I do think there has to be like some like tempered expectations, right?
For sure.
Because when season comes around, we're talking about a lot of mouths to feed, right? Amari Cooper's going to get his, right? Jerry Judy's going to get his. David Njoku is going to get his.
You better.
You would think Elijah Moore. That's where we start getting into that territory. Like, as far as like, I think him and Elijah Moore, if he's taking that step, there's a depth chart kind of battle, and he'll see if he can get over Elijah Moore, he's going to see a lot of playing time. And even if he doesn't, I still think they spread him out and he'll get some looks. But I think that we can't like go into the season expecting like 850 yards. I'm expecting that from at least like Jerry Jeudy. Like that's in my eyes.
Yeah, you know, I would say so.
I'm still of the mind of I want Cedric Tillman to just take over what DPJ was doing.
Yeah.
You know, and I know he didn't do a whole lot last year, but before then, I mean, I think last year was when we had DPJ, there was still a lot of trying to get Elijah involved. And we saw that dwindle down as the season went on. I mean, the end of rounds, so the screen passes to Elijah, those all started to go away because they were not working. But that was while DPJ was here at the same time. So I think that there was a shift in focus. But I just need him to be a reliable outside receiver that if that's where we're going to go with the play, I need him to be able to make the play. But I think that, like you said, it's going to be Amari, it's going to be David, it's going to be Elijah, Jerry Jeudy, Elijah. I think I'd like to see them focus on getting Jerome Ford involved more in the passing game. Maybe not as much in the run game.
Yeah.
But because I want to see Foreman or Robbins do that. But I would love to see Ford. I'm not saying get him out of the run game completely, just not the lead.
Duke Johnson. He's our Duke Johnson.
Yes, yes, man. You give him in the passing game, he's so good.
You guys hit the nail on the head for me. I was going to say
it's got to be
Jerome
Duke.
Ford's going to be
Duke
getting his, man, and it's going to be like Duke Johnson. Yeah. I think Butters hit the nail on the head, man. He came out of an offense where he didn't have to do much. So the biggest thing is I listened to a podcast called Moving the Chains. It's Daniel Jeremiah, and I am a Daniel Jeremiah fan. And the one thing that he says, if you don't pick a guy right away that has the full route tree, he's not saying give up on him, but it's going to take some time. Mm-hmm. There was a guy like that And I'm going to show my age on this one, but there was a guy for the Bills. His name was Eric Molds. And I had to look, and he played for Mississippi State University. Okay. And his first 3 years, because I live up in Bills territory, everybody wanted his head. He's awful. He sucks. And he ended up with the Bills. Eric Molds turned out into a great player. He ended up, if I can get this up, 3 Pro Bowls. He did. Oh, he's on the all-rookie team, so good for him, but he had a couple bad years. Second-team all-pros. He played from 96 to 2007, right? And he had some drops. He had everything, but he had to learn how to run routes. And this is all Cedric Tillman has to do, right? And so while Stefanski said he got better on the grass, right, I don't know where Stefanski's opinion of him was on the grass. Was it zero?
That's a good point.
Or was it 50? You know, because we know it wasn't 90 because he ain't getting that playing time, right? So, you know, he is doing better. Browns fans got to temper their expectations. And there's like at least 4 guys ahead of him.
Yes.
And not on receivers. I mean, like catching the ball wise.
Yes.
Right.
Anything else, Butters?
I guess if we wanted to kind of like carry on to even just rookies in general and young players, I feel like so often we get caught up with the Puka Nacuas, the guys that kind of come out of the draft and you're like, wow, look at the Rams. Look how they can draft. They can find Puka Nacua in the 5th round and the Browns can't draft a receiver in the 3rd after all these years. Andrew Berry must be awful. And it comes down to, my goodness, man, sometimes you just get lucky. Sometimes you just get the right guy at the right time for the right fit. And, you know, and I worry about guys like Michael Hall, where people are going to complain saying, hey, he's a 2nd-round pick. He was an Ohio State player. Why is he not getting crazy snaps? And, you know, we are so quick to rush and expect these guys to come in day one and just be all-stars. And we point to the exceptions and not the rules and the guys that it's going to take them years. So, you know, when Andrew Berry drafts, especially without having very early picks and first round picks, especially after the Watson trade, you can't just expect all his draft picks to come in day one and be big time starters. You know, if they do, that's awesome. And we're going to be so excited and, you know, congrats to them. But just because a guy didn't get a ton of snaps or a guy's not putting up the yardage that you're looking for doesn't mean he's a bust or he's a bum or he's a nothing. Hell, even like Elijah Moore, a guy that's been leading out a couple of years, like this kid's got great talent. When he was at Ole Miss, I mean, other than his height, there really wasn't anything you couldn't like about his game. And sometimes it just takes the right system. It takes the right coaches, the right just relationship with the quarterback, and things start clicking. And all of a sudden, guys come out of nowhere. So I'm excited to see what this young group has, but I'm prefacing just the fact that I expect there's going to be people tearing these rookies to shreds as soon as they don't come out and make the big play right away.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think that, I mean, Andrew Berry obviously understands that because that's why you see him hold on to his draft picks for so long whenever the fan base is saying, well, get rid of that guy. Why is he still on the team? Anthony Schwartz was a good example. I mean, even whenever the fans were like, I see nothing with this kid, you know, Andrew Berry still got the mindset, well, he's not top of the depth chart. He's not the featured guy. Like, we got to give him a little time. And then it got pretty evident, okay, we're not going anywhere with this. Right. And then you reach that point where it's like, okay, time to cut ties. Pastor Rob mentions David Bell here in the chat. You know, I understand giving guys time to develop, but we always say it's the not for long league. And if you don't come out and show that you at least have potential to grow and develop and produce, you know, down the road, there's a new crop of draft picks coming in every year. There's a new free agency period every year, and you will get replaced very quickly if you don't at least show enough to earn your keep on the team. And that could just be in the weight room, the film room, showing that you are dedicated to your craft and learning and working and everything like that. So we don't know what everything goes on behind the scenes. We just get to see what does or doesn't happen on the field, unfortunately. And you know, it is a good thing, but this front office, this team, this organization now keeps everything under wraps. So there's no leakage. There's no, you know, dirt coming out about anybody or so-and-so's not showing up to this or that. So
Yeah, I mean, I would say the biggest thing, I know the people that you're talking about, and I would say get out of the Stone Age, man, because that was the old school Browns. Yeah, we needed guys to be all-stars 10 years ago, man, for sure. I totally get it. But if you see all the teams that are any good, I mean, you see the 49ers, because I'm not going to use our division because we know about them. You see the 49ers drafting people that need to start right now? No. Either the Eagles draft people, maybe defensive tackle, but that's maybe across the league, right? And the guys that need people to start right now are the Panthers, the Patriots, because we were there 10 years ago. So people just need to get out of the Stone Age, man.
Yep.
Yeah, thanks, Butters. We appreciate that. We're going to bring Andrew Jackson up here, and while he's getting all situated onto the stage, I mean, one, if we want to use wide receiver example real quick, I'll just use the Chargers with Josh Palmer, because that was the guy, and he was out of Tennessee, right?
Yeah.
So they had a couple, he was buried on their depth chart for a few years, showed some things like, okay, maybe this guy can be a good NFL receiver. And now we're like 3 or 4 years into his career, and he could end up being the one on their team. He's either way, he's going to be heavily involved for them and a guy that they lean on. That could very well be Cedric Tillman's path, where it's like the first few years, you're like, okay, he did a couple things here and there. He looks like he could play in this league. And then who knows where we are 3 years from now. And we're like, hey, Ced, we really need you out here, bud.
Yeah, exactly.
Andrew Jackson.
Yo.
What is up? Whoa. Heyo.
What's going on, guys? Sorry, late joining here, but I don't know what you guys talked about, but hearing some of this young draft talk and young guys talk, so as of June 28th, we have a first-round pick for next year. So if you're Andrew Berry, what position group as of right now do you think we should look at towards next year if we keep it? Now, this is all, well, I guess relevant if we keep it or not. But as of today, is there a group that you think, hey, we probably should look this way or that way?
That's hilarious, because my first thought was, well, if I'm Andrew Berry, I'm already going, who can I get with this pick?
That's what I was going to say. Trade
what
it.
What team is trying to get rid of somebody that is Amari Cooper and I can get him, you know, and get maybe like two other draft picks with it and fleece these guys? But what do you think, Kenny?
Man, what position group would I upgrade at this point? I think the thing that you'd be upgrading is the money that you need to get rid of. And it probably have to be offensive line.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I love all my offensive linemen. I mean, you can talk shit about Wills, whatever. He's coming on a decent deal for a mediocre guy. It is what it is.
He's a starting left tackle in the NFL. Just,
yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you would look there first, I would assume. Yep. We have way too much tied up in our guard position, and I love Betonio. I love Teller. I want to see them Browns forever. But I know based on what we pay our quarterback, that's not going to be realistic.
I think this is probably it for Teller. You guys feel like that too?
Yeah.
Teller's going to get traded to the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
I guarantee you.
I would not be surprised.
Unless he wants to go back to the Redskins or the
I think it.
He was with the Bills. Think
he's still
he's from Maryland, right?
Oh, is he? Okay. Yeah.
He's going to want another contract.
For sure. You know he's still young enough.
He deserves another contract, for sure. Number one. He's a baller.
Yeah. I'm with you 100%.
Hunts alligators for Christ's
sake. Oh, yeah. So Pastor Rob says, is the Michigan guard Zinter not his replacement? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think he's, because I think that between the two, Joel Bitonio would be the one that stays.
Well, and here's the thing is, like, how much more does Joel have?
He's 33, I think.
He's getting into 10 years.
We saw injuries with Joel last year. If injuries start to happen again this year, you have no idea how long these guys want to play. But yeah, I think Zach Zinter probably next year, as soon as next year is going to be on the starting guard.
So. Yep.
Butter says offensive tackles, wide receivers, defensive tackles, and edges. I can't disagree with any of that because we just talked about the offensive line. Wide receivers, I don't know what's going on with Amari.
Yep.
We're not sure. Defensive tackles, because Tomlinson will be on his last year. And then we got Michael Hall. And then it's a bunch of one-year guys, Ika, and then the edges, obviously, Miles, and, Z will be here next year, but Alex Wright, after that, it is like, man, we might want to think about getting another top-tier guy, because Miles, we love him. He's also getting older. He's going to be up for another contract at some point in the not-too-distant future. And
I think Miles retires a Brown.
He's a minority owner in the Cavs.
He's too much into Cleveland.
For sure, I agree.
He's a Cleveland guy.
I think he stays around.
Yeah.
That's a good question, though. I mean, it will be interesting to be thinking about first round again. I'll be honest with you guys on how you feel. I haven't really missed it.
No, I haven't missed it either.
Because we've got such a good team. Like the team is competitive. And I mean, when you find like DeJuan Jones, Martin Emerson, right, we talk about these guys all the time.
Yeah.
Like, what do you need a first round pick for?
Yeah. Even Alex Wright's performed admirably, you know, like he's got the pressure rate. He finished the year with 5 straight sacks. Like, you know, that's awesome.
Real quick, I'm going to answer Joe. We can answer Joe America, and then we'll bring Pastor Rob on stage. Joe America says, should we start grooming another quarterback? Laughing emoji. Get ahead of it and have someone ready to take over in 2 years. Always good to have a great backup.
I would say depends halfway through the season where we're at. What I would say.
I think if things go as they're as we expect for Deshaun. Now, I'll admit as much as anybody, there's a very real possibility the shoulder injury, maybe he doesn't look the same in a game. I don't know. We don't know until we know, until we see it. But you know, by all accounts, he's doing well, and we know what kind of quarterback he can be and what he has been. So if he can do that again, we're just fine. And I think the Browns are seriously planning on having him beyond this first contract.
Yep.
That's just how that's the vibe I get. What do you think?
I agree. I mean, what was it last year when Andrew Berry was talking the 10-year, like, you know.
That was this offseason.
Okay, yeah. That's their vision, right? You know, so you got to believe that. Now, obviously, some things have to happen. Watson needs to improve play. And then I think if that does happen, like the next season and a half, he balls out, I think we get him again. Just recontract up, especially if that we're talking about AFC championships or we're talking about AFC North championships. If we're in that mix, I think that you can't just start over again. Well,
let's even take it from this perspective. You got Ken Dorsey. Ken Dorsey goes from Cam Newton to Josh Allen, and say we get those two combined, we get 50 to 60% of that. With this defense, it'll still look really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
It will. Okay, so Pastor Rob, sorry, man. I meant to hit that. You can come up on the stage. What's going on, man?
So, taking the question that Andrew asked and throwing it back at you again, because your first thought was, who are we trading for? You're mid-season, you're coming up to the trade deadline, we're at the start of the season, 4-2, and you want someone to take us over the edge. Who is your, for each of you, who's the guy that you would want to add to this team as it stands now?
This episode is brought to you by Danger Coffee. Browns fans, we talk about how Danger Coffee is made free from mold toxins that are in 45% of the world's coffee, but that's not all that Danger Coffee has to offer. Mineral and nutrient deficiencies are a big deal. They make you feel sick, tired, stressed, and they can give you brain fog. These deficiencies negatively affect your immune system, your digestion, sleep, metabolism. Have you ever wondered why you get an initial burst from your coffee, but then you get that little crash not long after? Danger Coffee's patent-pending process remineralizes your body with more than 50 trace minerals and electrolytes, leaving you more energized, engaged, powerful. These micronutrients enter the cells to boost performance. They bind to toxins to provide detoxification support. I know that sounds like a lot, but the bottom line, guys, is minerals matter. And most of us really don't get enough of them on a daily basis. Danger Coffee delivers micronutrients, plus it gives you access to the minerals you already have. Head to dangercoffee.com, use our code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S, for 10% off your order. And that code can be used over and over, so you get 10% off every order you make using code DAWGS. It's time to start every day off with a cup of coffee that gets you going and actually keeps you going. Dangercoffee.com, code DAWGS.
I would probably go either left tackle or a receiver, probably, which I would determine it. And the reason why I'm saying it like this, because I would determine it based on what our stats were. If Deshaun is under a lot of duress, generally it's going to come from the left tackle position, and Jed's not performing. So I would have to go that way. And that's big money and a big pick to pry somebody from somewhere. So mainly, what's his name? Garrett Bowles from Denver. And if it's not one of our receivers or just not getting it, Ken Dorsey probably has somebody that probably could, you know, I'm not saying Stephon Diggs or anything like that, but something.
It's got to be somebody that you're obviously going to have under contract or have to extend because you're not giving up a first round pick for a, you know, 10 game rental.
I was thinking even like a disgruntled guy. Exactly. I was even same team when you were talking about Denver. I was thinking, and it'd be weird to, you know, maybe trade again, but what about like Cortland Sutton?
Oh man.
Cortland Sutton.
Dude, I'll be all over that. All over that.
Yeah. I don't know, like financially, if all that stuff lines up, especially with, you know what I mean? That's just the first name. Like when I was thinking about, you know, guys that maybe the situation's not that great, who knows, maybe Cortland Sutton ends up having a nice year and, you know, he goes on and gets a big contract. So
we did an episode where I picked Cortland Sutton. That would be the actual trade,
right?
And not Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah.
And, oh, shit. Yeah. Okay.
But, you know, Jeudy came to us and he's the more precise route runner.
Yeah.
Cortland Sutton would be more like he would be definitely number two, but he would probably take over Amari at some point.
For sure.
And he would, you know, win those 50-50 balls for you down the field.
Yeah.
A little bit more than Amari can, because Amari's going to get open with his jukes, his jives, and his route running ability. And, but yeah, he'd be a great addition for a Ken Dorsey. He would be a better version of Gabe Davis.
Mm. You guys just want to see if they'll kick in like Javonte Williams, and then we can have all the Denver Broncos offense.
Yeah.
You know, with Jeudy and Sutton.
Yeah.
No, honestly, for me, it's so hard to do this kind of thing on the spot because, I mean, it really just boils down to contract situations for these guys. And then it depends on these records of these other teams too, because if the Broncos are pushing for it and they all of a sudden they're 4-2, they're not trading, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess positional wise, offensive line would be the first thing that I could see being an issue, especially if, like you said, Jed Wills isn't performing or we have injuries again. We don't want to run into squad guys like we had last year. I mean, it worked out okay. We managed.
Survived.
I don't want to manage. I don't want to survive. I want to thrive and kick some ass this year. So,
well, maybe it won't be a receiver. Maybe Matt Landers will be the Kurt Warner of receivers this year.
Matt Landers. There you go. That's our Austin Watkins for the preseason. There you guys go. There's our preseason hype piece for the Cleveland Browns. It'll be Matt Landers.
Why'd you trade him? Why'd you let Austin Watkins go?
All right. Oh, hey, look at that. I was just going to say, if anyone else wanted to get up here real quick before we wrap it up, Gage Tucker, come on up, buddy.
Gage. Yes.
What up?
Can't wait till all the Chargers time, buddy.
What up, everybody? How you doing?
What up, baby?
Yeah, so a while back, Andrew and I, we did a breakdown of who could possibly make the roster this year. And we were talking about it, I think, yesterday, the day before, in that group chat. There's going to be a lot of good players that are going to get cut. So my three positional groups that are going to be interesting to watch coming out of the preseason, it's going to be the offensive line, our defensive line, and then our secondary. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you all want to go ahead and maybe talk about that.
I think they're the defensive line for sure. I think there's a lot of interesting battles as far as that one defensive tackle spot. I think there's going to be some guys that get left out. I think receiver's interesting too, just as far as because – I feel like there's a lot of good guys, and so some of them are getting practice squatted, but I think we'll probably lose some guys there, whether it's a David Bell or, you know, whoever that guy is. And what else? I'm interested in linebacker too, just as far as like who's starting, who's out there game one.
I was going to say linebacker. You can pretty much peg who's going to make the team, but you're right. Like, how's that rotation going to break down? How's the snap share going to go? Who's the main guys out there? Buki already over Devin Bush? Do they see out of Bush during training camp?
Who's the rotational piece guy, and who's the starter, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think Hicks got the starting thing a lot. I mean, that's what he's brought here to do. And
JOK is not going anywhere.
I'm more excited than a lot of fans, it seems like, when I post stuff online, but I'm very excited to have Jordan Hicks on the defense. I think that he is going to do what Anthony Walker did, but a step up or another two steps up maybe, like, and stay on the field, tackling machine. I'm very excited for him.
His familiarity with Schwartz is big, right?
Yep.
I think what Gage said, though, all three of those position groups are, and the key to what he said, are they're not going to make the team. And I don't think he meant cut, because I think there's some ability for the Browns.
Added to the practice squad.
Right.
Yeah, but there's also some ability for the team to gain capital, right? And the whole reason that you do this or to become what the Browns want to become, like other teams in the league that have won championships, they've all had to cut guys or trade them to gain some kind of capital. So it's either going to be draft picks or other players. And from what we see, I don't think we can think of really anybody they trade for, but that capital and draft picks where they can kind of freely move and pick off the people that they feel comfortable with our coaching staff coaching, I think that's ultimately where we're going to really thrive, right? So it's a great point. And we saw the Browns, like with the secondary, for example, they drafted the number, who did they pick number seven overall? The seventh round pick, the DB. Sounds like he could challenge
Miles
some
Harden.
People. Miles Harden, thank you. He sounds like he could challenge some people. Yeah. Although he, like you said, maybe practice squad to start, but that could be something. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So they're doing these hard nosed guys. You know, Buki Watson. You know, they could all challenge. So let's see what happens. I mean, they have the price is right for these guys. So let's see if they can step up.
Absolutely. You got anything else for us, Gage, before we wrap it up?
Yeah, it should be interesting. So if you had to pick right now, who would you have starting at right tackle? Because that's going to be in the topic
I agree.
Going into the
team. That's a big one, bro.
I hate that question.
I'll do it, Gage.
I'm old school, man. I'm taking Conklin. I'm with the vet.
Correct, yeah.
Go with the vet.
Yep. Let the kid develop.
But do you worry about DeJuan Jones, him handling it when he came in and pretty much was manhandling everybody?
I think he'll be okay because he was a rookie. He's young. This organization seems like they're okay on kind of keeping the lid on some of these guys. And I mean, the obviously DeJuan Jones is the future. It's not Jack Conklin, but we are here now. So
my thing about DeJuan Jones, though, is I feel he's too heavy to make a full season every year. I think he's got to find a playing weight for him to handle the rigors of the NFL. And I think we saw that with his, I think he's going to continually have knee problems. If he's like, what is he? 400 pounds. You just don't last long. If he needs to find the right playing weight for him. And I just don't think he's there. I'm not a doctor. I don't know. It's just my gut feeling.
Pastor Rob says, it's Jack. If healthy, he plays. Jones needs to move to left. And I'm going to tell you what, I'll be disappointed if I don't hear reports about and I don't go to training camp and see that the Browns are at least rotating some players at that left tackle spot, because they did last year. You remember we were up there and DeJuan Jones was taking, what was the second team left tackle reps. So, you know, they need to explore all options.
Man, Judd's a big dude, though. He's got to get a mean streak.
Yeah.
And then who do you think is going to fill that void for Nick Harris coming in on the goal line and stuff?
Welch.
And that jumbo package. Welch.
Trayton Welch, the tight end?
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be the...
Who were we thinking? Yeah. That was for...
Why am I forgetting this? Because I
thought we were talking about DeJuan Jones doing it. Because he could move.
Zinter?
No, it wasn't Zinter. Who did I even say? I don't even remember now. Whippler, yes. Thank you. Luke Whippler. That was it.
That was my fault, guys.
That was my fault.
What would you say if it was Sayaki Ika? Like, just fullback and driving people.
On, like, the goal line? Absolutely, yeah. Man.
Be crazy.
Do it.
Sure.
I mean, the Bengals did that in the past with Domantal Pecco. They just threw him in there as a fullback and just used him as a battering ring. And
you know, I'm
the Browns did it with James Jones back in the 90s, man. And he was a defensive tackle, and he was 300 pounds. And he could run.
I'm all about getting creative with some of this stuff. Just, you know, and I know Kevin would get knocked over the years for not having a very, you know, innovative or creative offense. But they started implementing that jumbo pack last year with Nick Harris in there at fullback. And it was like, well, this is cool. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's nothing crazy, but it was cool to watch worked.
It's just simple.
Yes.
Tough, gritty.
But it was a wrinkle. You know, it was just a wrinkle in the norm that was just enough that it gave us that extra push when we needed it at times. So I'm interested to see what him and Dorsey cook up this year, really. And the new guys, Tommy Rees and all these other guys that are in the building.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was basically my 11 big guys are against your big 11 guys. Let's do it up.
Slay it
out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As I know I'll take our linemen over anybody else's.
Yeah. For sure.
Hell yeah.
I love our guys. I think we've got.
We're going to line it up and run it at you, and I dare you to stop it. That's basically.
Yeah.
I love that. Being a former offensive lineman.
You got a soft spot for these guys.
I dare you to stop it.
Yeah, that's right.
You know it's coming. The train's coming. I dare you to stop it.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of, I mean, that's what Philly does with that tush push play. You know, they just line it up and they're like, you guys know what we're doing. Mm-hmm. You can't stop us. And I think that, honestly, that mentality, that psychological effect does give you a little extra boost.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right, buddy, you got anything else for us?
No, that's all.
All right, man. Well, we're going to get out of here. Thank you guys for joining another Dog Pack Discord. Hope you guys all have a great weekend. We appreciate you hanging out with us for the last hour. I mean, this Discord show, me and Justin really started talking about maybe trying this out a little while ago, and we finally started it because, you know, it's like, this is a show for you guys. We were doing after hours for a while, but it was still just another show where we sit here and talk and then you guys sit there and watch it. So we wanted to get you guys more interactive with the show. And during the season when we did the Discord lives, like interactions, crazy. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So doing these stages is really cool. We're really glad this is working out. So
great questions too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You guys bring it, especially the ones we don't want to answer, like right tackle.
Yeah.
No, I'm just messing, but
I'll tell you January 2025.
So again, if you guys are watching this after we've already recorded and published, please make sure you guys like the video, subscribe to the channel. If you want to jump in, I should have said this at the top. I'm not as good at jumping these things off like Blake, but jointhedogs.com, become an official Dog Pack member. It's how you get into the Discord to do these stages, to take part in this kind of podcast episode where you get to come on and interact with us. And fantasy football is starting. And well, we're going to have signups now until mid to late August. We're going to cut it off somewhere in that range because we've got to divvy up the leagues, set the draft dates. I'll have a league, Justin, Kenny, Blake. We will all have league. Last year we had five plus a dynasty league. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we get even more leagues this year. Looking for a lot of fun fantasy. So if you want to play fantasy football, don't wait. Get in the Dog Pack now. Jointhedogs.com. Send us a message right away. Just says, hey, just signed up, want to play fantasy. I'll make sure you guys get put on the list so you don't have to worry about it. And then you'll get more information whenever we get in there.
You still get that 7-day pass?
Yeah, there's still a 7-day free trial.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
okay,
so
good.
The first week is free. And then just let us know you guys want to play fantasy and stick around. And you're in. And jump in Discord. Hang out with us. This has been a ton of fun. So,
well, I just tell my guys in my group, in my Browns backers group, I was like, it's a free week. Pick the lowest setting. If you forget.
The lowest setting is $5.
It's $5.
Yeah, you know? $5 a month.
Take one less beer in your life, okay?
One less beer, one less cup of coffee. I mean, really, it's not that bad, so.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Yep, so we appreciate everybody tuning in, and we're going to get out of here again. Everybody have a great weekend. Of course, whenever you're watching this after the fact, the weekend will probably be almost over, so hope you had a good weekend. And jump in the Dog Pack this week. Jump in Discord stages whenever we set the time for next week. So until we talk to everybody again, let's go Brownies.
Go Browns.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube and follow us on Twitter at the Dogs Podcast. Get your thoughts on the show at thedogspodcast.com.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.